Hi, good to see you. That was good fun, that. Good fun. We right enjoyed that. Now, can we get some of your stuff so that you're not going to walk out on me, are you?
No, no, no. I mean, no, you're going to walk out on us.
I'm going to walk out on you.
You can come with us, actually, Mike.
Just leave four empty chairs here.
We'll be in
yeah, just do the numbers. And, let the chairs do the talking, that's all. That song, of course, I mean, apart from being very popular, that had a crucial part to play in your careers, didn't it?
Yeah, well, I guess it was the beginning of a comeback for us. We'd been through a dry spell from about 1970 to about 1974.
No rain at all.
No rain. And, and we came to America to make an album. So Eric Clapton, we met Eric Clapton in the office, in Robert's office, and he said, I'm making a comeback, you know. And he'd done I Shot the Sheriff at 461 Ocean Boulevard in Miami, and he said, why don't you go and make an album in another country? In other words, go away. You know, so, which we did. So we went to Miami, and we fell in love with Miami, and we have homes there today.
Yes.
And so Jive Talking was the beginning of a different era for us.
That's right, it started something. Yeah. But I mean, where did the ideas for songs come from? I mean, where, that one, for instance.
Well, Jive Talking was actually originated on a bridge. It had a tar ridges over it, and we were on our way to the recording studio. And we're in the back seat, and the tires going over these tire ridges made a noise, a rhythmic noise. And I think Barry picked up on this.
How did it go?
Well, and that was actually.
No, well, it's more of a chuka 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 chuk.
Yeah, it was.
But it had to be 35 miles an hour.
It made a noise going over a bridge, and right. that gave us the idea of a rhythmic start, the one that you hear on the record. Yeah.
I mean, so the ideas come out of the blue, basically.
Yeah, basically they come in the middle of the night, you know, in the shower. Just like everybody else, you sing
well,
in the shower.
All at once.
All at once.
Yeah.
I mean, you must have got ideas in the shower. Yourself.
I've had many ideas in the shower. Never for a song, actually. Yeah,
The best one is when you go to bed at night and you have a little micro cassette and you think, I've got an idea in the middle of the night, just in case.
Yeah.
And the next morning when you hear it, it's like, and you realise it was a waste of time.
That's right. Yeah. What about? I mean, what's the process then of writing, the three of you? I mean, it must be complicated, or is it?
Well, it's not to us. It's instinctive to us.
No,
but
it's just like,
I mean, it all provides what? I mean, do you each have a separate function? Or
we don't all have roles. We can all have individual ideas. We could come to the table with a melody or a chorus. Morris could come with a verse, I could come with a chorus, and Barry could come with a chorus, and sometimes that can make up one song.
And then we all go to work.
Yeah, but it's a mood thing. You can actually write all day long and come up with nothing.
But we put a microphone up, make echo, make it sound like a record before you've written the song.
Yeah.
So it feels like you're singing on a record. And that inspires you to go to somewhere else.
When you're talking about making echo there, I read in the research that your early attempts to find echo took you to some very strange places, didn't
yes.
it?
Yes,
yes.
Primarily, Lewis's department store in Manchester.
Whereabouts?
Which has the best toilets in the world.
Toilets are always good because of the tiles.
Yes. You laugh,
but it's true. And I actually read in Dusty Springfield's biography that she also was very keen on
toilets
and
toilet?
Echoes. Well, what the singers are.
Toilets are very popular in our business.
They are.
As George Michael so often says.
Yes.
You think, what's your theory about that?
Well, I got my own toilet. So.
we take
Morris
our toilets.
Morris is solo as well sometimes.
Yeah. We're going to flash it as private.
I rent a crowd and bought a toilet.
No. Well, seriously, we used to sing in sewage.
Great staircases,
well.
You know, stairwells.
Yeah.
We used to look for all those places where there was great echo.
And when did you first discover this capacity to sing together?
In toilets.
Not my toilet, do you, please?
Well, I'm sorry. Piccadilly Circus was great.
Where did we learn the capacity to do it?
The three-part harmony. I mean, did it just come naturally or what?
Yes.
It did.
Well, we started.
From what kind of age?
Me at about 9 years old. My ninth Christmas, Dad got me a guitar, and Morris and Robin started immediately. We all wanted to be pop stars because it was the year of Elvis Presley. I think it was the beginning of rock
Cliff.
And roll. And Cliff Richards and people like that.
So, but I mean, the way you were at that time, it would seem quite unlikely. I mean, you were talking about Manchester, aren't we? And, I mean, it's quite a rough area of Manchester, too.
Oh, yeah, and all the rougher because we were there.
Was
yeah.
it?
Oh, yeah.
Your problem family were
there. Oh, yeah.
You had to be very careful in the toilets there.
No, don't mind.
What you did.
Moss Side was the place where we used to...
Moss Side is where you were.
Yeah, Chorlton, Moss Side. Yeah.
Chorlton, Hardy.
I mean, that's a tough area, still is today.
Yeah, that was our sort of square mile, and we ruled it. So, you know, we were kids on the street and we rarely came home till very late at night. So it was, we were what you would call very young delinquents.
Oh. Well, delinquents?
Yeah. I got 2 years probation.
For doing
which
what?
I'm very proud of.
For doing what?
For stealing a small racing car.
You still got it?
I mean, we weren't that bad, but we were sort of...
More pranky.
We were rascals.
You're rascals. But what about the, Morris, what about you? I mean,
I was goody two-shoes, me.
Were you?
Barry and Robin were the arsonists.
Yeah. Careful.
Very careful.
Arsonists?
Morris used to steal bottles of orange juice off people's doorsteps.
The first thing I ever did. That's the only crime I ever committed, and I got nicked.
So we knew it wasn't good for him.
So one day the police came round to the front door and said, and advised my mother and father to emigrate.
Yeah,
that it might be more prudent.
It was on the recommendation of the Manchester Constabulary.
Yeah, you know why? Because the little car belonged to a policeman's child.
Yeah.
Well, what about education? Did it play any part in your childhood at all?
Not much.
Being educated.
because my headmaster in particular was not a very nice man, and it used to frighten me. So from the age of about seven, I would try and escape from school. I would go to school, but I would never arrive.
Yes.
So, I mean...
You didn't?
No.
Oh, you bugger.
Well, our school looked a bit like Holditz, didn't it?
I used to hang out with other kids, we never got to school.
What about since? I mean, have you tried to replace that gap, that lack of education? I mean...
No.
But I only ask because I heard you, Robin, talking at rehearsal about going to spending time in the Imperial War Museum.
That's right, yes.
And I mean, it's one of your fascinations, isn't it?
Yes, I actually went to the Imperial War Museum once and they had to emulate one of the air raid shelters from the Blitz. And I was sitting in there in the dark and it was really frightening. And it was shaking away and there was about 15 people in there with me. And suddenly they all started speaking German.
I
said, this is the irony of this.
They came over to see what it was like.
I think we're going, it must have been hell.
Let's go and have a look.
All right, so then, so the police, on the advice of the constabulary, you're on a £10 passage to Australia. Now, there's a common fallacy abroad in this country that when you arrive in Australia, it's milk and honey. And, of course, it wasn't like that, was it?
Well, actually, there's two sides to it. It was absolute paradise. We'd never seen anything like that in our lives. We were brought up in Manchester. We'd never seen beaches, snow-white beaches, and it was a wonderful place to grow up. I don't know where the downside is. You went to school in bare feet, you know? You didn't wear shoes.
Well, there's an upside for us.
Wonderful,
It was in Australia too, of course, that your professional career kick-started, wasn't it, really, in a sense?
Yes.
If you ever saw the film Crocodile Dundee, see that bar at the beginning of the film, well, those are the places we worked.
Yeah.
So it was very rough, and people... Australians have the great knack of fighting sitting down.
It's amazing. Right,
and they would never hit the jug of beer in the middle. They'd always move that a little bit and then belt each other.
And 5 minutes later, the other guy hit back.
And we'd be singing away on stage and these guys would be belting the hell out of each other and they would stop to clap and then they'd go back to belting. And so fantastic. We used to work the pubs, and in New South Wales, where gambling's legal, there was all like nightclubs, football clubs, RSL clubs, return servicemen. So there's all the one-armed bandits, and we knew if they stopped playing them, we were okay.
But our audiences were always drunk. So you could hard to go wrong, you know, three kids and a drunken audience. You know?
Now let's show you. I mean, you've seen it before, I'm sure. There's this magic moment on Australian television in those days when you actually first did your first television, I suppose.